Surat Maryam, Ayah number 51 onwards. Waskul fil kitabi Musa, and mention in the book Moses, indeed he was chosen, and he was a messenger and a prophet. Wa kana rasulan nabiyya. Why did Allah say that? Because a messenger is one who receives a revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a nabi is one who does not receive revelation but carries on the previous revelation and has come to reform the society. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ. And we called him from the side of the mount at his right and brought him near, confiding to him. And we gave him out of our mercy his brother Aaron as a prophet, and mentioned in the book Ishmael. Indeed, he was true to his promise, and he was a messenger and a prophet. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقُ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. And he used to enjoin on his people prayer and zakah, and was to his Lord pleasing. Allah was pleased with him. And mention in the book Idris, indeed he was a man of truth and a prophet. He was a prophet before Nuh alayhi salam. He was the first one to stitch clothes. Allah says, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. And we raised him to a high station. Those were the ones upon whom Allah bestowed favor from among the prophets of the descendants of Adam, and of those we carried in the ship with Noah, and of the descendants of Abraham and Israel, meaning Yaqub alayhi salam, and of those whom we guided and chose. When the verses of the Most Merciful were recited to them, they fell in prostration and weeping. This is the ayah of Sajda. Allah says this is what happens to pious people. True people, the Sadiqeen, when they hear the Qur'an, they fall down in sajda, crying from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Crying because they have finally recognized the truth. They have found the truth. Allah says, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِنْ خَلْفٌ. But there came after them successors, later generations, who neglected prayer and pursued desires. So they are going to meet evil. Subhanallah. The generations after these pious predecessors were those who neglected their salah and they pursued desires of the world. The world became important to them. The dunya was important to them. So they forgot the Quran. And when they hear the Quran, they do not fall in sajda and weeping because their main concern are their own desires. Allah says, so they are going to meet evil. Except those who repent, believe and do righteousness. For those will enter paradise and will not be wronged at all. Therein are gardens of perpetual residence, which the Most Merciful has promised His servants in the unseen. Indeed, His promise has ever been coming. They will not hear therein any ill speech, only greetings of peace, and they will have their provision therein morning and afternoon. تِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي نُورِسُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا مَنْ كَانَ تَقِيًّا. That is paradise which we give as inheritance to those of our servants who are fearing of Allah. Ahadith in Sahih Bukhari states, who will be the people of Jannah? The people of Jannah, the first group of the people of Jannah, will have faces like a full moon. They will not have any bodily secretions. Their perspiration will be like perfume. Their crockery, their combs will be made of gold. Every man will have two wives, delicate, extremely beautiful, and they will do tasbih of Allah morning and evening, just as we do inshallah morning and evening in this dunya. Allah often mentions doing his tasbih, his zikr remembrance in the morning and in the evening after fajr and maghrib. That was a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. He would do special azkar in the morning and evening, and may Allah make us also follow this habit. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. So Allah says, and they will have their provision therein morning and evening. That is paradise, which we give as inheritance to those of our servants who are fearing of Allah, who are very, very cautious. In the next ayah, Jibreel alayhi salam, Allah says, said, and we angels descend not except by the order of your Lord. Why is that? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted Jibreel alayhi salam to come more often. So this ayah was revealed. Jibreel said, and we angels descend not except by the order of your Lord. To him belongs that before us and that behind us, and what is in between. And never is your Lord forgetful, Lord of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is between them. So worship him, and have patience for his worship. Do you know of any similarity to him? Be patient for the worship of Allah. Allah says, وَاسْتَبِرْ لِي عِبَادَتِي, even if it is difficult, even if it is challenging, even if you are tired or you are distracted, Allah says, وَاسْتَبِرْ لِي عِبَادَتِي. And man, meaning the disbeliever, says, when I have died, am I going to be brought forth alive? Remember, this is the opposite kind of a person. A person who has taqwa of Allah will be patient and steadfast upon the worship of Allah. And that is because a believer believes in Akhirah, has conviction about Akhirah. But a disbeliever is always in doubt and does not believe. Allah says, does man not remember that we created him before while he was nothing? So by your Lord, Allah swears by himself. So by your Lord, we will surely gather them and the devils, then we will bring them to be present around hell upon their knees. Then we will surely extract from every sect those of them who are worst against the most merciful in insolence. Then surely it is we who are most knowing of those most worthy of burning therein. And there is none of you except that he will come to it. This is upon your Lord an inevitability decreed. Meaning Allah says, be exposed to it. The people of Jannah will not be harmed. But every single person will have to pass over hellfire upon a bridge. The Prophet ﷺ has told us about the bridge. The companions inquired, and what is the bridge? He replied, it is a slippery surface. This is from Bukhari and Muslim. Rasulullah ﷺ also said, so their light will be according to their actions. Some will pass over the Sirat according to their light. So some will pass at the speed of a wink of an eye, and some like lightning. Some will pass like clouds, and some like swooping down of a star, and some will pass it at the speed of the wind, and some others at the speed of a running strong horse. Allah then says, then we will save those who feared Allah and leave the wrongdoers within it in fire on their knees. May Allah save us from being of those people. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And our children, and our children descendants to the end of time, and our parents. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And when our verses were recited to them as clear evidences, those who disbelieve say to those who believe, which of our two parties is best in position and best in association? Meaning, look at the believers and look at us. Who is more powerful in regard to worldly interests? So do not follow those who are weak as regard to worldly interests. Subhanallah. Allah says, and how many a generation have we destroyed before them who were better in possessions and outward appearance? Say, whoever is in error, let the Most Merciful extend for him an extension in wealth and time, until when they see that which they were promised, either punishment in this world or the hour of resurrection, they will come to know who is worst in position and weaker in soldiers. On that day, Allah says, the light will be clear from the dark. The truth will prevail over falsehood. And Allah increases those who were guided in guidance, and the enduring good deeds are better to your Lord for reward and better for recourse. Allah does not look at our faces. Allah does not look at our wealth and our clothes and our horses and our cars and orchards and land. In fact, these very things are instrumental in stopping people from accepting the truth. Allah says, then have you seen he who believed in our verses and said, I will surely be given wealth and children in the next life? This ayah 77 through 80 were revealed about As. As bin Wail was a staunch enemy of Islam. Khabbab bin Ard radiallahu anhu had lent him some money, and when he asked for it back, As said that I will not give it to you until you disbelieve in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Khabbab radiallahu anhu replied that I will not do so even if I die. asked and replied that that's fine. When I am resurrected, you can demand it then, because I will have wealth and children even then. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat. Allah says, then have you seen he who disbelieved in our verses and said, I will surely be given wealth and children in the next life? Has he looked into the unseen, or has he taken from the Most Merciful a promise? No. We will record what he says and extend, meaning increase for him from the punishment extensively, and we will inherit him in what he mentions, meaning his worldly things. Allah says, instead of giving him wealth and children in the hereafter, Allah will take from him those things that he had in this worldly life. So Allah says, and we will inherit him in what he mentions, and he will come to us alone. And they have taken besides Allah false deities, that they would be for them a source of honor. No, they, meaning those so-called gods, will deny their worship of them, and will be against them opponents on the day of judgment. Do you not see that we have sent the devils upon the disbelievers, inciting them to evil with constant incitement? So Hinduism, polytheism, is simply a dance of the devils. Subhanallah. Allah says, so be not impatient over them. We only count out that is allowed to them a limited number. On the day we will gather the righteous to the Most Merciful as a delegation, and will drive the criminals to hell in thirst. None will have power of intercession except he who had taken from the Most Merciful a covenant. What was that covenant? Not to worship anyone else other than him. And they say the Most Merciful has taken for himself a son. So now we have polytheism in Christianity. Allah says, you have done an atrocious thing. What is this atrocious thing? To say that Ar-Rahman, the Most Merciful, has taken for himself a son. Allah says, تَكَادُ السَّمَوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا. The heavens almost rupture therefrom, and the earth splits open, and the mountains collapse in devastation that they attribute to the Most Merciful, a son. And it is not appropriate for the Most Merciful that he should take a son, meaning it does not befit him at all. There is no one in the heavens and earth but that he comes to the Most Merciful as a servant. He has enumerated them and counted them a full counting. And all of them are coming to him on the day of resurrection alone. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Indeed, those who have believed and done righteous deeds, the Most Merciful will appoint for them affection. Affection from himself and from amongst each other. According to Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is in meaning, when Allah loves a pious slave, he tells Jibreel alayhi salam, I love this person and you should love him as well. Jibreel alayhi salam announces this in all the heavens and its inhabitants. So now the inhabitants of the heavens start loving this person. Then on earth acceptance and appreciation is placed for this person whom Allah loves. So the love for a person from those around him comes from above, from the heavens. When Allah loves you, then everyone else will love you in return. Allah says, so Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have only made it, meaning the Quran, easy in your tongue, that you may give good news thereby to the righteous and warn thereby a hostile people. It was in Arabic, so the people over there could understand, because those people, the very Sahaba, were supposed to be the standard bearers of Islam, and through them Islam spread all over the world. Allah says, and how many have we destroyed before them of generations? Do you perceive of them anyone, or hear from them a sound? Subhanallah. Surah Taha. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Taha. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى تَنْزِيلًا مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ اسْتَوَى طَاحَ. We have not sent down to you the Qur'an that you be distressed, but only as a reminder for those who fear Allah. a revelation from He who created the earth and highest heavens, the most merciful, who is above the throne established. Was it the Quran that was causing distress? No. The people were causing distress to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they simply refused to believe in the Quran. They refused to follow the Quran. Allah reminds him that only those who fear Allah, خَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who fear Allah in the unseen, those are the ones who will truly be affected by the Quran. Allah says this is just a reminder. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful to His servants because He has sent the Quran. Allah says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To Him belongs what is in the heavens and what is on the earth, and what is between them and what is under the soil. And if you speak aloud, then indeed He knows the secret and what is even more hidden. Allah, there is no deity except Him. To Him belong the best names. And has the story of Moses reached you? When he saw a fire and said to his family, "Stay here, indeed I have perceived a fire. Perhaps I can bring you a torch or find at the fire some guidance." Musa alayhi salam was traveling with his family after he had completed his promise to Shuaib alayhi salam that he would marry his daughter and serve him for a number of years. Once that promise was complete, Musa alayhi salam left because he was on his way back to Egypt. So the family camped for some time and he saw a fire and he told his family to wait so he could go and get some for them. He said, "Stay here, indeed I have perceived a fire. Perhaps I can bring you a torch or find at the fire some guidance." And when he came to it, he was called, "O Moses, indeed I am your Lord, so remove your sandals. Indeed you are in the sacred valley of Tua." Musa alayhi salam had come to find a torch, and he had mentioned that he wanted some guidance, huda. He had no idea that it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was going to guide him and was going to give him the torch of revelation, the torch of prophethood. So Allah speaks to him, the voice comes from that burning bush. Allah says, "And I have chosen you, so listen to what is revealed to you. Indeed, I am Allah. There is no deity except me. So worship me and establish prayer for my remembrance. Indeed, the hour is coming. I almost conceal it so that every soul may be recompensed according to that for which it strives. So do not let one avert you from it who does not believe in it, the hereafter, and follows his desire, for you then would perish." What an unexpected and astounding thing. Musa alayhi salam must have been stricken with fear. Allah is speaking to him himself and saying, "Inni anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni." I am Allah. There is no deity except me, so worship me and establish prayer for my remembrance. The third thing is a concept of the hour, akhirah. Remember, the Bani Israel knew that the akhirah was coming because this was something taught to them from generations, from Yaqub alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam down. However, they had forgotten everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds Musa alayhi salam of it. And He also warns him that someone who does not believe in it should not divert you from it. Always remember the akhirah. People who do not believe in akhirah, they follow their own desires. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa alayhi salam something very unusual. "And what is that in your right hand, O Moses?" Allah knew what was in Moses' hand. It was his staff. Musa alayhi salam then starts talking about his staff out of his nervousness. He said, "It is my staff. I lean upon it and I bring down leaves for my sheep and I have therein other uses." Allah was bringing his attention to it. Allah said, "Throw it down, O Moses." So he threw it down and thereupon it was a snake moving swiftly. Allah said, "Seize it and fear not," because at this moment Musa alayhi salam was very afraid. "Seize it and fear not, we will return it to its former condition." and draw in your hand to your side. It will come out white, without disease, another sign, that we may show you some of our greater signs. Imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke directly to Musa alayhi salam on this earth. Musa alayhi salam, the prophet, the man, heard Allah's voice on earth. He spoke to him directly. Allahu Akbar. Allah then ordered Musa alayhi salam, go to Pharaoh. Indeed, he has transgressed. Moses said, my Lord, expand for me my breast and ease for me my task and untie the knot from my tongue that they may understand my speech. قال رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. This is the dua that we recite in the beginning of every juz. Alhamdulillah. Now, it was said that Musa alayhi salam had a bit of a stutter because as a child he had put a hot burning coal on his tongue. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve him from his anxiety because it was a huge task. He being a shepherd and also from the children of Israel who were a slave nation, basically lived as refugees and they were under the rule of Pharaoh, he was supposed to go to the Pharaoh and give him the message of Allah. So he asked Allah for help, for Allah to ease his task, make him relaxed, and untie the knot from his tongue, so that Allah will make him understand the speech of Musa alayhi salam, will make him understand, make Pharaoh and the Egyptians understand the message behind the words. And then he asked for further help. And appoint for me a minister, meaning assistant from my family, Aaron, my brother. Increase through him my strength and let him share my task, that we may exalt you much and remember you much. Indeed, you are of us ever seeing. So the help of his brother was sought for what? To give him strength, to give him self-confidence and assurance, to help him with his work in preaching, and also so that Harun alayhi salam would be his companion and they would help each other to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kay nusabbihaka kathira wa nazkuruka kathira. Indeed, you are of us ever seeing. Allah said, you have been granted your request, O Moses. And we had already conferred favor upon you another time when we inspired to your mother what we inspired, saying, cast him into the chest and cast it into the river, and the river will throw it onto the bank. There will take him an enemy to me and an enemy to him. All of this was inspired to Musa alayhi salam's mother, and that is why she was able to put that baby in that running water. Allah says, and I bestowed upon you love from me, that you would be brought up under my eye. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Asiya to love the baby who floated up to her palace. It was Allah who made sure that he was safe in the house of his very enemy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was supervising all of this the entire time. Allah says, and we favored you when your sister went and said, shall I direct you to someone who will be responsible for him? Because the baby in the palace would simply not stop crying. And no matter which nursing mother they tried, Musa alayhi salam would not drink milk from anyone else. And he kept crying and crying. So the sister, who was a smart girl, was running alongside the river. And when she saw the chaos in the castle, she goes up and offers assistance. And without telling them who Musa alayhi salam really was, that he was his brother, she said, shall I direct you to someone who will be responsible for him? Because she wanted the mother to be reunited with the baby. So we, Allah says, restored you to your mother that she might be content and not grieve. Allah was infinitely kind to the mother. First, he placed a difficult test upon her, and then immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieved her. He made Musa alayhi salam refuse the milk of any other nursing mother so that the baby would be returned to the mom. Allah says, and you killed someone. Musa alayhi salam had killed a Copt, an Egyptian, by mistake. because he saw him beating up one of the children of Israel. So the man died after being struck by Musa alayhi salam, and at that moment he had to run away from Egypt, and that's how he ended up with Shu'aib alayhi salam in Madian and married his daughter. So Allah reminds him and said, "And you killed someone, but we saved you from retaliation and tried you with a severe trial, and you remained some years among the people of Madian. Then you came here at the decreed time, O Moses." This was a time when Allah had chosen that Musa alayhi salam was ready to face the challenge. وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. Allah says, "And I produced you for myself." Allah had already selected Musa alayhi salam and made him strong in body and character according to the requirements of his mission. وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ means Allah trained him for himself. Allah loved him and selected him out of all of those human beings present on earth at that time. But when Allah chooses someone, that person has to be ready for tremendous trials. This is how Allah purifies and prepares one for something greater, for something that Allah loves. Now Allah says to him, "Go you and your brother with my signs," meaning the miracles that Musa alayhi salam had, the asa and the glowing hand, "and said, and do not slacken in my remembrance." This was the way for them to feel connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to gain strength and power. He said, "Go both of you to Pharaoh, indeed he has transgressed, and speak to him with gentle speech, that perhaps he may be reminded or fear Allah." So we learn that even with the hardest and harshest of people, the way to do dawah is to speak to people in a very gentle manner. Because when we speak to someone with kindness and gentleness, it is possible that if their hearts are soft, they will be affected by it. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Allah loves kindness, and He does not confer upon anything else that which He confers upon kindness." They said, the two of them, Harun and Musa ﷺ, "Our Lord, indeed we are afraid that He will hasten punishment against us, or that he will transgress." Allah said, "Fear not, indeed I am with you both, I hear and I see. So go to him and say, indeed we are messengers of your Lord, so send with us the children of Israel and do not torment them. We have come to you with a sign from your Lord, and peace will be upon he who follows the guidance. Indeed, it has been revealed to us that the punishment will be upon whoever denies and turns away." So imagine Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, who he had met when he first arrived in Egypt. They come to the court, they are dressed as shepherds, in tattered clothes, simple people. And they address Pharaoh and the courtiers in all of their splendor and arrogance. So once they give them the message, the Pharaoh said, "So who is the Lord of you two, O Moses?" He said, "Our Lord is he who gave each thing its form and then guided it, because Pharaoh did not create anything, and he knew that." Pharaoh said, "Then what is the case of the former generations?" Since the Pharaoh was unable to refute the argument or reply of Musa alayhi salam, he tried to sidestep and reroute the conversation. So he asked him a question about the former generations, because this was designed to entangle Musa alayhi salam into giving a reply that would greatly offend the Egyptians. The question was, how did the people of bygone ages who all worshipped idols stand now? What is going to be their fate? His purpose, Pharaoh's purpose, was that if Musa alayhi salam replied that they were all misguided and deserving of hell, then he could instigate his people against Musa alayhi salam. But Musa alayhi salam gave a very wise reply, and it was a discreet reply. He said, "The knowledge thereof is with my Lord in a record. My Lord neither errs nor forgets." Alhamdulillah. Remember, Allah guides people whom He chooses. Musa alayhi salam continues, "It is He who has made for you the earth as a bed spread out, and inserted therein for you roadways, and sent down from the sky rain, and produced thereby categories of various plants. Eat therefrom and pasture your livestock. Indeed, in that are signs for those of intelligence." The Pharaoh had not produced the earth. He could not bring the rain down. He had not set out roadways on earth like passes through mountains. And he was not the one who had introduced and designed all those plants and the livestock. On top of that, Musa alayhi salam says, indeed, in that are signs for those of intelligence, meaning that if you don't accept this, then it means that you are not very smart. And he continues, from it, meaning the earth, we, Allah says, created you, and into it we will return you, and from it we will extract you another time. And we certainly showed him, Pharaoh, our signs, all of them, but he denied and refused. He said, have you come to us to drive us out of our land with your magic, O Moses? The Pharaoh is smart. He puts his courtiers on alert with this question. Is Moses doing all of this for a power grab? He uses all kinds of arguments so that they would be distracted from the truth of Musa alayhi salam's words. And now he threatens Musa alayhi salam. Then we will surely bring you magic like it. So make between us and you an appointment, which we will not fail to keep, and neither will you, in a place assigned. The Pharaoh challenges Musa alayhi salam with a competition of magic. Never before this had the Pharaoh ever stooped or would ever have to compete with anyone. His word was law. And the very fact that he offered to compete with Musa alayhi salam because he knew that nothing else was working was an announcement of his defeat. The first step of his downfall. Moses said, your appointment is on the day of the festival when the people assemble at mid-morning. And amazingly, it was Musa alayhi salam who chose the appointed time. And Pharaoh, more amazingly, accepted it. So Pharaoh went away, Allah says, put together his plan, and then came to Moses. Moses said to them, meaning the magicians summoned by Pharaoh, woe to you! Do not invent a lie against Allah, or he will exterminate you with a punishment, and he has failed who invents such falsehood. So they disputed over their affair among themselves and concealed their private conversation. We see that the magicians are affected by what Musa alayhi salam has said, and perhaps they have heard about this religion, the preaching of Musa alayhi salam, because remember there was a gap between the time Musa alayhi salam arrived at the court of Fir'aun and the day of the festival. So the magicians are confused, so they go to a separate place to confer with each other. They said, indeed, these are two magicians who want to drive you out of your land with their magic. Who is saying this now? The Egyptians, the people of the court. They said, indeed, these two, Musa and Harun alayhi salam, are magicians who want to drive you out of your land with their magic and do away with most of your exemplary way, meaning your religion and tradition. They are here to attack your way of life. So resolve upon your plan and then come forward in line. And he has succeeded today who overcomes. They knew they were superpowers. They knew that they were a great nation, and they were afraid to change their way of life because they felt that their way of life had made them great. And remember, magic only works in fairy tales. This was a classic event, a classic story of good versus evil. Good and evil have always fought against each other. The real struggle is between these two forces. But the forces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have always won, have always overcome. And Allah promises that in the Quran. He says, surely the group of Allah, Hizbullahi, humul ghalibun. They are the ones who are going to overcome. The question to ask here is, why was the Pharaoh so threatened by a weak, tattered slave nation? What kind of great army did Musa alayhi salam have? He did not even have the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, with him right now, because right now they were in the control of the Pharaoh. Truth, however, has immense power. And because of truth, a nation like the children of Israel, who were a slave nation, became a dominant power in the world. On the other side, we see that the Pharaoh was a very intelligent man. He did all his planning. He brought all his forces together. He planned how to compete with Musa alayhi salam. In his preparation, the magicians who he had brought had their tools. There was discipline. They came in an organized way. They came forward in a line. There was a great show of pomp and power to intimidate Musa and Harun alayhi salam. Even when they were conferring with each other, they did not let other people know that they were having second thoughts. They showed confidence. And then we have the personalities of Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam. Why were they chosen? Because their mother was an exceptional woman. It was the character of the mother who had brought up such amazing children. We have already seen that she was one of the closest slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the family of Musa alayhi salam, all of the children of Israel, they're waiting and watching. The Egyptians, Pharaoh, they are waiting and watching. This is the day of the grand festival. Everyone is there. And what's online? The future of the Bani Israel. So the magician said, "O Moses, either you throw or we will be the first to throw." He said, "Rather you throw." And suddenly their ropes and staffs seemed to him that they were moving like snakes, because the Pharaoh had already informed the magicians that Musa alayhi salam's staff would turn into a snake as well. So the magicians were already prepared with that trickery in the same manner. And so the ropes and the staffs that they threw down seemed to Musa alayhi salam that they were writhing like snakes. So he became fearful. Allah says, "And he sensed within himself apprehension," did Moses. "We," Allah said, "fear not. Indeed, it is you who are superior." See, Allah did not say, "You are going to be superior." Allah said, "You are superior." And this is how a believer should feel, whether we see victory in front of us or not. We are superior. You know why? Because we follow the Quran and we are upon the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A believer, a true believer, is always superior. Allah says, "And throw what is in your right hand. It will swallow up what they have crafted. What they have crafted is but the trick of a magician, and the magician will not succeed wherever he is." So the magicians fell down in sajda, in prostration. Because when Musa alayhi salam threw down his stick, it turned into a serpent and it swallowed up all the sticks and ropes of the magicians. They knew in an instant, as soon as they saw the serpent, that this is not magic. Remember, they were experts in their field. They knew that this was not achievable by any human being. So they fell down in sajda immediately. They knew that this was the truth and this was a miracle sent by Allah. They said, "We have believed in the Lord of Aaron and Moses." Pharaoh said, "You believed him, Moses, before I gave you permission? Indeed, he is your leader who has taught you magic." Pharaoh is very angry and he has to explain this. How is he going to explain this away in front of all of those hundreds of people gathered to watch this event taking place? He thinks quickly on his feet and he accuses the magicians of being in cahoots with Musa and Harun alayhi salam. So now he orders, "So I will surely cut off your hands and your feet on opposite sides, and I will crucify you on the trunks of palm trees, and you will surely know which of us is more severe in giving punishment and more enduring." Why was this punishment so harsh and so gruesome? Because through them, the Pharaoh was warning his people not to accept Islam with Musa alayhi salam, otherwise they would face the same end. They, the magician, said, "Never will we prefer you over what has come to us of clear proofs and over he who created us. So decree whatever you are to decree. You can only decree for this worldly life." They believed in Akhirah now. They had such conviction that they did not care what kind of punishment the Pharaoh was going to dole them out. They said, "Indeed, we have believed in our Lord, and he may forgive us our sins and what you compelled us to do of magic, and Allah is better and more lasting." Meaning what? The punishment is not lasting. Because remember, the Pharaoh said, "My punishment is going to be severe and enduring." But the magician said, "No, that is only for a little while, for a few short minutes. What Allah has is always lasting and enduring. That Jannah, that paradise, for these martyrs, is going to be the most beautiful thing they have ever experienced. Allah says, in Jannah, there is something of gifts which the eyes have not perceived, the mind has not imagined. We have not sensed anything like that. They had such utter conviction that they were not afraid. And they were ready to go through this pain, this tremendous pain of this gruesome punishment. Subhanallah. What great iman. What great conviction. Allah then says, indeed, whoever comes to his Lord as a criminal, indeed for him is hell. He will neither die therein nor live. But whoever comes to him as a believer, having done righteous deeds, for those will be the highest degrees in position. Gardens of perpetual residence beneath which rivers flow, wherein they abide eternally, and that is a reward of one who purifies himself. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. From all cleanliness, how do we purify ourselves? From all uncleanliness, the greatest of which is worship and obedience to other than Allah. That is the greatest uncleanliness. Allah calls it rids in the Quran, as we have read. The Prophet ﷺ used to make this dua. Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha, wa zakkiha anta khairu man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa maulaha. O Allah, grant my soul its taqwa. O Allah, purify my soul, my nafs. You are its wali, and you are its protector. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.